In the name of Jesus Christ, our great high priest, the priest of love. Amen. Melissa, for the joy and honor of being the preacher at your ordination, I thank you. And Bishop Gale and Christopher, thank you for inviting me to be here. When it comes time to celebrate the Eucharist tonight, the offertory hymn will begin with these words. If it were not COVID time, I would sing them. And so the yearning strong, with which the soul will long, shall far outpass the power of human telling. For none can guess its grace till love create a place wherein the Holy Spirit makes a dwelling. Gifts, gifts, gifts. And the greatest gift of all is love. Over and over, from the time of the Magi until this very night, love keeps creating gracious places wherein the Holy Spirit may make her dwelling. And wherever love cradles and creates a dwelling, gifts appear. Sometimes the movement of the Holy Spirit and the gifts she brings prove serious and mysterious. Sometimes the Spirit herself and the gifts she brings are humorous, and we learn that the Spirit not only breathes into us, but guffaws in us. 36 years ago tonight, I was celebrating the first Epiphany in the only place I have ever served as a rector, at another Grace Church, this one in Elkridge, Maryland. I was a mere 30 years old and had been a priest for not even 3 years. I tended then, as now, to be a bit overly serious, assuming that God's business is always solemn business. But in that little parish's tiny cold water sacristy, right after the service, the subdeacon handed me an Epiphany card. Mary Pat had just been admitted to postulancy and was preparing to enter seminary the next fall. Mary Pat was the mother of two teenagers and combined the practical streak that comes with mothering, both biological and spiritual, and the life-saving good humor that helps any parent survive raising two teenagers. On the front of the card were three women, arrayed in something like the garb in which the Magi are usually decked out. All three seemed to be hiding something behind their backs. Just above their heads, in swirling Gothic calligraphy, were the words, "If Jesus had been visited by wise women, then when you opened the card, you saw them bringing from behind their backs the gifts they were presenting to the Christ child." And I read these words. They would have brought gifts of diapers, casseroles, and formula. I laughed and laughed and laughed some more. Tonight, by divine grace, we join the Holy Spirit in her seriousness and good humor as we ordain one of God's wise women, Melissa Howell, someone who combines in herself many gifts, among them a gentle and wickedly wonderful sense of humor, together with gifts of deeper mystery and seriousness. It is said that one of the Magi brought gold to the Christ child. Gold. That metal which in its outward self is beautiful and precious. Yes, but not just outwardly. Gold is also an outward and visible sign of what is inwardly of greatest beauty and value, what is most precious. It is usually said that this gold given to Christ Jesus symbolized his kingship, and no doubt that is so. But there are so many kinds of kingly rule and the power that goes with it, some precious and some deadly and dangerous, like the fear-filled, power-grubbing power of Herod, the king who decreed the murder of all the innocents of Bethlehem. But in Christ Jesus, the gift of gold symbolizes that he rules by love and by love alone. He is a king not warped by Herod's greedy fear, but a king who, out of overflowing and perfect love, wants to share his power. As one of our hymns names him, this Jesus, our Messiah, is the King of Love, the one who shepherds by sharing power with all he loves to build an utterly different kind of kingdom, one whose power is freely shared with all, but particularly with those he calls the least of his sisters and brothers. Think just for a moment of the love that Jesus showered on all those who stood in need of healing. I'm thinking of Jesus showering that love by touching lepers whom no one else would touch, sharing his healing power with a hemorrhaging woman who touched him in the crowd, giving more than just table crumbs to a pagan Syrophoenician woman. Love, life-changing, healing, more precious and more to be desired than gold, as the psalm says. Certainly all of us know that Melissa is one of those with whom and through whom this generous gift is shared. This generous Jesus shares his gift of love through you, Melissa. The Christ love that shines out from you is a love shared, as your shepherding Savior did, with all, but particularly with the least. All of us who know Melissa will have experienced that precious Christ love in our own ways. In her years before heading off to seminary, I had the privilege of getting to know Melissa by being the priest at Trinity assigned to walk alongside those discerning a call to holy orders. One of my most vivid memories from those discernment conversations centered on the encounters that Melissa had with a particular patient while she was serving as a lay hospital chaplain. Frank, I'll call him Frank, was an elderly gentleman, quite ill, and not a person of faith. It is one thing to share Christ's love with someone who shares the vocabulary of faith and the tapestry woven of well-known and beloved stories of God's goodness, grace, and love. But it is quite another to find ways to share that love with someone who is not a believer. With Frank, Melissa could not rely on comfortable words that, dare I say, can all too easily be nothing more than hackneyed and empty, pious niceties. Instead, you, Melissa, had to embody the love of Christ through something other than pious words. As the Gospel of John says of Jesus himself, Melissa had to find a way to make the love of Christ become incarnate, embodied, real for this aged and dying non-believer. And how did Melissa share with Frank the gold that is love? As I listened to her recount the encounter she had with him, it became clear. Melissa had shared the open-hearted love of Christ by means of her open ear. With Frank, she said little and listened much. Our loving God gave us one tongue and two ears for a reason. For far more life-changing love has been given away by listening than by talking. Frank had no family nearby to listen, and no belief in the loving God who gave him life, and so Melissa became for him the golden ear, the one who listened and held back from saying much. And so the love of God came into that hospital room, listening and helping Frank unburden himself and prepare to cross from this life into the life to come. Where I wager, Frank discovered that the throne of grace is occupied by one who listens instead of interrogates. The scripture says that the Magi gave a second gift to the Christ child, frankincense. And tradition tells us that frankincense was given to show forth the divine presence that delighted to come among us and share our flesh in Jesus. This truth, that the divine presence is mediated through human flesh, is one of the deepest insights that the gospel proclaims. Frankincense is, in its very essence, a multivalent symbol, bridging between the divine and the human realms. On the one hand, it bespeaks divinity in that it is used to worship God and its smoke rises to heaven. On the other, it is a quintessentially humble symbol, made as it is from the oily resin of a tree whose roots go deep, deep into the humus. And so frankincense reminds us of the Christ's two natures, divine and human, and the way in which he humbled himself to share our humanity so that we might be lifted up to share his divinity. Likewise, Melissa, this wonderful gift of frankincense is an apt symbol for the priesthood which Christ is about to place in your hands. For like it or not, you will be for your people a bearer of divinity. And into your hands they will deposit their many and varied experiences of and imaginings about God. What a heavy gift this is to bear. For sometimes they will expect, unfair though it may be, perfection of you instead of God. And all too often they will hold you responsible for the many ways that God disappoints them. But by so bearing with their projections, you will help them to let those projections go. And by humbly opening your hands in the Oran's position, the attitude of prayer, you will pass their burdens on to the place they truly belong, in the hands of God. And the last of the Magi's gifts, of course, was myrrh. Myrrh, the bitter perfume used in Jewish burial rites. Our tradition says that this gift was offered to the Christ child to foretell his full and final self-giving, his sacrifice of himself on the cross, that sacrifice that would end forever all sacrifices, and to bury once and all the blasphemous assumption that God can only be pleased if we flagellate ourselves and do ourselves in to earn God's admiration and love. But because the one who calls you into his service has already made this full and final sacrifice for you and for all his creatures, you, Melissa, do not need to. And indeed, you should not try to turn yourself into dust and ashes in imitation of your Savior. Bury the glittering and ghastly image which says that the only good priest is one who burns herself up in the service of her Redeemer. So if you find yourself swept up in a desire to burn yourself up in the service of Christ and the Church, might I suggest that you sacrifice that yearning and offer it to Christ, who will delight to burn it up for you and to replace it with the truly proper priestly yearnings with which the Holy Spirit has already graced you. Melissa. So often, hidden behind the words of the people who will come to you, is a need for an ear. An ear that will listen for the Christ behind those words. Be that ear for them. And so often the people who come to you will want to deposit into your hands not only their personal burdens, but their burdens about God. Be the hands that receive the burdens of your people, and then pass them on in prayer to God. And finally, Melissa, be the soul that is humble enough to bury its prideful desire to burn itself up in service, and in its place receive day by day the freely burning love of God that has gone before you in Christ, with enough passion to carry you, the people God gives into your care, and all creation into newness of life here in this world and in the world to come. Just so, love will keep creating in you a place wherein the Holy Spirit makes her dwelling, and so your people will rejoice, God will be praised, and your priesthood will be a gift to you and to all those you meet. Amen.